turning our attention now to the visit to the county by the Minister for State for Special Education and Inclusion, Josepha Madigan. Minister Madigan, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
I understand you're visiting the MON, the Presentation Monastery School in Killarney this morning, and looking particularly, I suppose, at summer provision and special needs education. Is that the main purpose for your visit?
That is the main purpose, and I just want to thank Brendan Griffin, who has invited me down today and works very closely with me and is in regular contact with me in relation to special education issues and indeed other issues in terms of staffing in schools. So I'm visiting Scoilbhir na Mainistreach and also Fatha National School, and I'm looking forward to seeing the children participate in summer provision, and also meeting the principals and the staff and the SNAs. And, you know, it's a great programme that is run every year by a number of different schools to provide this programme for children with additional needs, as well as children from disadvantaged areas, and also Ukrainian children as well. So I'm very much looking forward to the visit.
And with that in mind, you announced recently new legislation, yourself and the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, giving the department the power to compel schools to make additional provision for children with special educational needs. How is that process going to work? It's going to be a 6 to 8 week process from receiving a report that there's insufficient space in a certain area. Will that meet the needs for people in terms of trying to get their children into their local school if they have these additional needs?
That is exactly what the aim of the legislation is, and obviously, Jerry, it's not something that we want to do, but we felt that we had no other option. I mean, in Kerry, for example, you have 79 special classes and you have 3 special schools, and in fact, you have some unfilled spaces, which is quite unusual in a county. But if you take a county like Dublin, for example, or Cork, they, you know, there's a real demand for special classes, obviously, because it's more densely populated. So what this legislation will do, in the first instance, if a school, what we're asking the schools to do is to collaborate with the National Council for Special Education if they approach them to open a special class. But in circumstances where they don't, then we'll have no option but to trigger the Section 37A mechanism, which then will compel them to open a special class. And I think, well, you know, when we think about the fact that there are 4,000 schools in Ireland, we want them to embrace inclusivity and integration. And I have to say the majority of the schools who open special classes do so outside of the Section 37A process. And so I think that's an important point. But having said that, there are some schools where we know where they have a capacity to open special classes and don't. And in that instance, then we will be asking them to do it, because we don't want children with additional needs not being able to attend their school, ideally in their local area. But if not, the first thing we need to do is get them a placement, and then obviously we try to look at their local area where we can. It is a right under the Constitution. Education is a right for everybody, and children with additional needs are our most vulnerable children, and they really need that access to SNAs and staff support, and to try and, I guess, help them to be as independent as they can be within the school environment.
Was this a response to the comments of the Ombudsman, Niall Muldoon, in his report, saying, look, the situation we're seeing in terms of the availability of places is a clear failure on behalf of the state, which is obligation to respect, protect and fulfil the right to education of every child?
Yeah, I very much welcomed Niall Muldoon's report, the Ombudsman for Children, and, you know, it didn't come as a surprise to me when he talked about the fact that there had been discrimination for many years. And I think, you know, we can all accept, I think, in this country that, you know, children with additional needs have been neglected for many years. But over the last 2 years, and I think the Ombudsman did acknowledge this, there has been progress made over the last 2 years, particularly around our forecasting and our forward planning in terms of providing those special places. So there is progress there. And we have a budget of $2 billion, which, when you think about it, is the entire budget of the Department of Justice. So it's over 25% of the entire education budget is dedicated solely to children with additional needs. And we've put in a number of different measures which will help going forward. So, for example, Last year, we got a commitment from the planning and building unit in the department that all new schools going forward will automatically provide special education facilities, special classes. And, you know, that's something that was never put in place before. And I think will have a real knock-on effect into the future in providing those placements for children where they didn't have it in the past. So, you know, a lot of those different measures will make a big difference going forward.
Okay. And will the resources be there to meet this ambition, this compelling of schools saying you need to put these places in place? Will the teachers be there, the SNAs be there, the physical infrastructure be there where they're needed?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's no point putting in a special class, you know, it's not just four walls and a room. You know, we have to provide the staff and we have to provide all the resources that they need. So there are grants available to schools who open a special class in the first place. You know, so there's a furniture grant, there's an equipment grant, there's a startup grant, and obviously the training for teachers and principals is important as well. And there's, you know, a 4-day intensive training course for teachers, a 2-day training course for new teachers. There's a whole staff CPD. The school is also linked with an NCSC advisor as well. And, you know, the NCSC will work with schools in terms of technical site visits to help them to ensure that they have the capacity to hold these classes and to open them. And also in terms of staffing, so in a primary school, there'll be two SNAs and one teacher for each special class where there are 6 children. And then in a post-primary school, it's 1.5 teachers and 2 SNAs. So that's important. And there's also an enhanced capitation rate for schools as well, where they have children with additional needs and where they're opening special classes. So we're doing everything that we can, I guess, to encourage schools. And as I said, the majority of them do open special classes outside of the Section 37A process to open those special classes.
Yeah.
Because I think everybody would agree, we don't want to see children left out in the cold and having to avail of home tuition in circumstances where they're being denied.
And no doubt, Minister, no doubt there will be additional needs needed by some of our Ukrainian students that have already started, and some more will be starting in September. Figures this morning, we could have 1,400 people a week for the rest of the year. We already have a creaking local services system here in terms of available in terms of accommodation. Will our schools be ready in September to be able to deal with the extra pressure that will undoubtedly be placed in terms of language support, in terms of the education of every child, Irish and Ukrainian, with these extra needs placed upon them?
I suppose to answer your question, 2 parts, just around Ukrainian children with special education needs. You know, if we look at it as a percentage, we're talking only about 1%. So at the moment, for example, in special class and special schools, we only have around 8 or 9 children with additional needs from the Ukraine. The majority of them would tend to stay in countries that are nearer to Ukraine for understandable reasons, where there are complex needs. Having said that, there are some coming in, and you know, the NEPS advice, I suppose, the National Education Psychological Service advice, is to take the psychological first aid approach. So the advice is not to assess them first of all from war, you know, if they're coming from a war torn country, to let them support them first and then settle them and then assess them. So that's just the strategy around children with additional needs from the Ukraine. From a more general perspective then, and Kerry, I know, for example, there were some pressure points in terms of school capacity before the summer, but I know now that the department has worked really closely with the local RAILS team, so that's the Regional Education and Language teams, which were set up in March 2022, and they're hosted through 16 different regional ETBs. So the RAILS coordinators are conducting a pre-enrollment process over the summer months. So that's to support schools in managing that enrollment process for Ukrainian children in August and beyond. And obviously the department will continue to support the RAILS in this regard. There are, I think, about over 7,200 Ukrainian children already in schools across the country, and about 660 of those are across primary and post-primary schools in County Kerry alone. And I want to thank the Kerry schools who have embraced Ukrainian children coming in, the very paid meal of voucher that they have given to them, because it's obviously of huge assistance to them. And I know talking to teachers in schools, they really enjoy teaching the Ukrainian children. They're really enthusiastic and they enjoy the learning process.
And you're saying the support will be there. We have a question in this morning. Ask the Minister why parents of special needs children are still fighting for their rights after Fine Gael have been in power for 11 years. This is for early assessment, intervention, places, a respite care for families, all of those sort of things that they're unfortunately are waiting lists for.
Yeah, so I work very closely with Minister Anne Rabbitt, who's obviously, you know, responsible for the assessments of needs. I know that she has reduced the waiting list considerably, but obviously there's a huge amount of work still to be done in that regard. And, you know, it has an impact on my remit in terms of children not getting assessments on time in order to be able to apply for a special class or a special school. So I work very closely with her, and I know she's working really hard to try and make sure that those are done. I hope that this new legislation in terms of providing a placement for a child with additional needs will now be accelerated, and there shouldn't be as much as a barrier as there was in the past. And I think when you talk about Fine Gael being in government, I mean, it was Richard Bruton who brought in the Section 37A process to begin with. But if you consider the fact that the previous ministers for education had all of my role, all of Simon Harris's role, and all of Norma Foley's role. So I think for the very first time, I'm the first dedicated minister for special education. I think that's shining a spotlight in this area in a way that it hadn't been done in the past, and that can only be a good thing.
Okay, final point, Minister, and this comes in and it reflects the general tone of the comments that we've had this morning about AIB's decision to go cashless. Our listeners are by and large disgusted by the decision. Jerry O'Leary says, was this decision to make these 70 branches cashless deliberately announced when the Dáil was not sitting so as to protect the government from negative publicity? Totally irrational politicians talking about supporting rural Ireland and staying silent when these decisions are announced. Eaton bread is soon forgotten. The banks were bailed out to the tune of 64 billion, but we are now more or less back to duopoly of two major banks who can do as they please. This move will be the final blow for rural towns like Castle Island, Killorglan, Kenmare, Carrasaveen and Dingle. People not happy with this decision this morning. Businesses feeling that they're being left high and dry by the bank.
Yeah, and I mean, I can completely understand that. I hear the frustration. I think it's very sad to see local branches closing in towns across Ireland. And, you know, we've already seen Bank of Ireland close branches last year. And I do think, unfortunately, that this is the way the trend is going. I mean, online banking and apps like Revolut, I think, are more popular among the younger generation. But I do think it's regrettable that these branches are closing. And I know that for local businesses in particular and individuals, you know, who might get change.
They're feeling abandoned. Older people and businesses are feeling abandoned. They're paying the same amount of money and more for their banking services with fewer banks, less competition, and all they're seeing is a reduction in service.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an opportunity now for the post offices to fill that gap. And I know that the Department of Finance is undertaking a review of the retail banking sector in Ireland. And I know that the Minister of Finance will consider those recommendations once they're announced. I mean, unfortunately, my understanding is that he's precluded from intervening in commercial and operational decisions in any bank, even one in which the state has a shareholding.
Bailed out those same banks. And one of the things the listener said, look, you don't want to lose your local branch. We have to do this for the good of the country. And all we're seeing now is basically fancy showrooms for banking services, but no real services in them in our towns.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, the announcement by AIB yesterday, you know, that the decisions are the sole responsibility of the AIB board and management of the banks, which obviously have to be run on an independent and commercial basis. But you know, I think it's extremely difficult. You know, when you see the fact that there's a repurposing of 70 branches, you know, but I hope that Ompost can step in there in terms of cash and cheque services. And, you know, there has been 30 million put into Ompost for the next three years for 900 different post offices. And I think this is the first time the Irish government has provided direct support for postmasters. So I hope that that might be of assistance. And, you know, I've no doubt that if there's something the Minister of Finance could do, he will do it. But my understanding is that he is
Would you like to hear from him today on this?
I'm sure that he will be making a statement on it at some point or commenting on it. But my understanding is that his hands are tied in terms of trying to intervene, that they're obviously independent. Sure. And that's a difficulty.
Look, on one level, that's understandable. But can you understand why people are feeling so bitter this morning about this, given all that's been done and all the money we're still paying back for these banks?
I do. The
behaviour of the banks.
I completely understand it. And I think, you know, banks and customer service in general, I think, has taken a battering over the last number of years. And, you know, a lot of simple things like, you know, ringing up and you don't get a person on the phone, and, you know, things are changing rapidly. But I'm hoping that, you know, from a positive perspective, that the Unpussed might be able to assist in taking over that function that the bank has traditionally done in the past.
Okay. All right. Minister for State at the Department of Education, Josepha Madigan, thanks very much for talking to us in the programme this morning. That's Minister for State Josepha Madigan, Responsibility for Special Education and Inclusion in Kerry today to visit a number of different schools talking about special needs provision in our schools. If you've a view on what she had to say on that or on AIB's decision, then do get in touch with the programme.